The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
It is a special show for the next 60 minutes live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Hallis Hall. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and our special guest for the hour, Bears kicker Robbie Gould. How you doing, Robbie?
Good, Zach. It's good to be here, man.
Any messages for Tom?
He's on a longboard somewhere, sunbathing in Maui. I'm kind of jealous. I mean, it's 50. I can't even golf out here. But it's always good to be here in the Bears All Access show. I mean, it went from the Pat Manley show to now the Tom Thayer show.
I'm just happy
to fill in.
Happy to have you here because there's a lot to talk about. The Bears have an offseason full of stuff happening, from free agent signings to a big draft, including the Bears drafting a punter.
It's been a while. Todd Sauerbrunn, I think, was the last specialist possibly drafted. Was
1995.
Was Paul Edinger drafted?
He was not drafted.
So, you know, the last guy was Todd Sauerbrunn to get drafted. So it's been a long time.
We want to recognize our fans here. Fuel up to play 60. Our guests here, a lot of kids that you had a chance to talk to. And, you know, there's so much talk about football and safety. How do you kind of put it in a way that people can understand where you can have fun and appreciate everything that football offers and making it safe too?
Well, I think what's unique about this program is it's about eating healthy, which is a huge part of the regimen that an athlete has to go through on a daily basis. I mean, if you're not eating the right way, obviously you're not going to be able to perform the right way. And same thing for kids, especially the kids that are here tonight. If you're not eating the right way, you're not going to see maybe some of the results in testing, taking your tests, or, you know, the energy levels to be able to retain some of the information in school. So, you know, it's great that these kids have worked hard to get here. They deserve to be here. And, you know, it's special for me to be here and be a part of it. You know, it's great. Congratulations, honestly. I think a big part of this is a lot about, you know, eating your dairy and cheeses, you know, the things that build huge muscles that kickers like myself have. So I can give them a lot of pointers on how to eat to, you know, perform to get big and strong.
Yeah, don't look at me. I have no idea what it takes
to build
muscles.
I'm impressed. I mean, you came into a radio show with a sports coat on. Is this the new procedure for the show?
I just think you always have to look like you belong, and that's what I'm trying to do. You know,
I like it.
I
like it.
Compensate for everything else. But anyway, this is Bears All Access. Our guest for the hour is Bears kicker Robbie Gould. Let's start with the draft and kind of work our way back to all the free agent signings this offseason. But it was a draft in which the Bears on paper seemed to address a ton of needs. What's your overall take on what happened last week?
Well, I think if you listen to what Phil Emery said, probably beginning of January when he had his what I call postseason press conference with Mark Trestman, they talked about they were going to go into the draft and shore up some of their defensive needs, and they did that. Obviously, finding a couple D tackles, I think, taking a corner and a safety in your first four picks, I mean, pretty much says this is what we're going to do, and they stuck to that game plan. You know, when it comes time to, like, fifth through seventh rounders, you know, not a lot of those guys make your roster. So what you're trying to find is you're trying to find guys that are probably your best available, but you're also trying to find guys that you need to fill in to fill some of your holes. I think if you look at this year's draft, what they've been able to accomplish with the draft is they found a lot of competition in a lot of positions. And if you're a general manager, if you're a head coach, if you're a player, you have to be excited about that competition, because usually competition brings excellence, and with excellence brings wins. And we fell obviously one win short last year of making the playoffs. But I think if you look at this year's draft, that's exactly what they're looking to accomplish, and I think they were able to do so.
Register today, priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Before I bring in Tom Thayer, because I'm sure he's got a whole bunch of questions for you, what does it mean when you come into work for all these off-season workouts and Jared Allen is on one side of the locker room. Lamar Houston's on another side of the locker room. Willie Young, all these guys that the Bears ended up signing this offseason. We're talking about veterans that can help immediately.
Well, listen, I'm excited that they're not rushing my field goals anymore. I'm a little nervous about Julius Peppers being at the Green Bay Packers. I think he's going to obviously, as great of a player as he is, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder when he plays us twice a year in our division. So to get some guys like Lamar and Jared Allen and even like a guy like Ryan Mundy, you know, they're going to help our defense. You bring a lot of veteran oriented players into a locker room. It helps with leadership. It also helps with they've been around the game, so they've seen pretty much every scenario that you're going to put them in, and they'll be able to handle that. The other thing is I think you're going to find with Lamar and Jared is the big part that you heard everyone talk about is quarterback pressures, which is going to obviously was one of a situation that was an unfortunate situation last year that was probably our biggest injury bug of the team. So to go out and find a couple guys that can get to the pass rusher and, you know, help your defense, I think Mel's got to be excited about it, and I think the team's got to be excited about it.
Zach Sabin, Robbie Gold, joined now by 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Tom, in your life, have you ever had a question for a kicker during the offseason?
Yeah, I do have a question. I was thinking about it before. Can you develop...
Were you thinking about that question while laying on a beach sipping Mai Tais? In Hawaii?
I wasn't sipping a Mai Tai, but I was laying on the beach hoping for the surf to pick up. But I was curious about something. Can you develop a good holder, or is a good holder, is it something that you have that natural ability from the very first time that you get together?
Well, a lot of it is natural ability. Obviously, you know, these guys, all three of the guys that we have here now have done it before. I don't know a lot about Pat O'Donnell as a holder or really as a punter, but from what I've been told, he's held for 4 years. So, you know, he's done it before. I think as far as grooming is concerned in the city of Chicago and what the conditions are, you're talking about tilting the ball in different winds and different angles to make sure that we have the right tilt. And that's just about repetition. And you're going to get that every day out here at Hallis Hall. You're going to get it at Bourbon A, and you're also going to get it throughout the year in games, no matter where you're playing. So, some of it's natural ability, and a lot of it is just repetitions. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it, and the more natural it'll become.
What I'm interested in finding out, and Tom, excuse me here, when you look at a punter like O'Donnell, who has never kicked in the conditions at Soldier Field, how much time do you have to spend with him in order to make sure he understands the wind patterns? Because they're similar.
Well, he kicked in Cincinnati for a couple years before he went to Miami, you know, because his father had a situation that he had to go back to Miami to support him in Florida. So he's kicked in conditions before. You know, obviously Chicago is it's a different animal. But I think what will help all those guys is realistically having an older player like Pat and Brad, what they did to me. And you talk about a mentorship program. You talk about helping a young guy out. We've been doing it with Drew and Tress the last couple weeks that they've been here. But I think the biggest thing for Pat to understand is what, and most young punters, this is realistically what it comes down to, is what makes a good versus great NFL punter. Because you see a lot of kids in college that all they do is bomb it. They don't directionally punt it. So I don't know much about Pat, but I think that's one of the biggest obstacles as a young punter.
Coming up next with Robbie Gold and Tom Thayer, we'll find out who is going to be the next Devin Hester. That's next. Bears All Access, live from Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on live from Hallis Hall in front of our friends from Fuel Up to Play 60. Alongside Bears kicker Robbie Gold, I'm Zach Zabeman. Tom Thayer is on the phone line with us as well. And I want to correct something that there may have been some confusion in our last segment. Pat O'Donnell, the punter that the Bears drafted in round 6 last weekend, is the first punter the Bears have drafted since Todd Sauerbrunn was taken in 1995. The Bears have drafted kickers before. You were not drafted. You came in as a free agent after a tryout in 2005. But Paul Ettinger, you mentioned him. He was drafted back in 2000 by the Bears in round number 6 ahead of some quarterback in New England named Tom Brady.
He's kind of good.
Can you talked about competition earlier, Robbie, and you had to go through it in 05. I think it was right before the Bears played Cleveland early on in the season. There was a competition. How many people did you compete with when you came to Halas Hall?
Five. And I think, you know, thinking about the scenarios that you go through as an undrafted free agent, and I'm sure Tom can attest to this as well, draft day is the happiest day for a lot of guys, but it's also doomsday for a lot of other players as well that are on the roster currently. So, you know, as they start signing their rookies, they can only have X number of players. So some guys may stay, some may go, and rosters may shuffle. So, you know, some of the guys are going to have the happiest day that they're going to go through, which creates competition, but that competition also lends to other guys getting cut in the next couple weeks.
You know, Robbie, watching the draft, and there's only one guy that really gets drafted where he believes he should, and that's Jadeveon Clowney. Everybody else thinks they got underdrafted no matter where you got drafted. But I remember being up at Lake Forest at Halas Hall the day that you were going through your tryout with the other kickers that they brought in, and it was like very archaic. You just come in there and you kick as well as you can, both in every statistical category. They try to measure your everything with a kicker, and you go out and you win that job, and then you sustain the job, and then you create an atmosphere here that you're the top kicker in the history of the organization. I tell you what, it's an incredible accomplishment given the circumstances that you faced. You either kick well today or else you go home. And look what happened when you kick so well that one day.
And I appreciate that, Tom. I think the biggest thing that any person wants coming out of the draft and even going forward, even if it doesn't work out here, you want somebody to give you an opportunity. And I think for a lot of these young kids that are coming into the NFL, nothing in the NFL is going to be given to you. Yeah, there's a couple picks, probably one through maybe four, that are almost guaranteed to make the roster this year. But in reality, what ends up happening is, as a young player, you want an opportunity. And once you get that opportunity, you have to make the most of it. But, you know, for me, I started 3-for-6 when I was here, and I missed a couple long field goals, and then I started to get it. I think things started to click because of Brad and Pat's help. Things I've learned from Adam Vinatieri and Brad Seeley and Josh Miller in New England. Things that I learned a little bit in Baltimore. You know, you kind of take those things along the way. So being the older guy in the locker room right now, you know, teaching these young guys how to take advantage of those opportunities, what it means to work every day in the weight room, what it means to work and get in your playbooks, although I don't have to study a playbook all too much as a kicker, but you can see the development that players have to go through from that standpoint in the offseason. So if we can help those guys out, I think we're going to have a pretty good team.
Last year, you were a group of four specialists. It was you as the kicker, Podlish as the punter, Manley as the long snapper, and Hester as the return man. What's it like now? All those guys are not here.
Yeah, it's different. You know, you're talking about a locker room that had 29 guys, and I think we were looking yesterday. I think you signed maybe 12 of them back. So you're talking about a lot of turnover. I think what's great about Devin Hester is he set the precedent here. So the guys that are coming next have to work just as hard to put up the numbers that Devin did, because you may never see that again, honestly. But with guys like Chris Williams, Dominique Hickson, Michael Ford, some of these young guys that we just drafted may be able to return the football.
Josh Morgan was signed.
Yeah, you're talking about finding a replacement. But here's the thing. You have four or five guys. We talk about creating competition. You have four or five guys that can do it. And you're going to alter your game plans. You're going to alter your schemes based around the types of returners these guys are and or will become, based upon the things you find out from OTAs or also from them returning in kicks in games. There's just a lot of variables that are going to go into finding that guy. It's not going to be like there's one guy right now that they have in mind that this is the replacement. But you're going to see the guy that has the best knack for it going forward.
Robbie, are you the most level-headed guy in the room right now? Because when you look at some of the guys that make a living in special teams, Eric Means and stuff, I'll call him the instigator of excitement. But now sometimes you got to make sure be in the huddle when you're getting ready to go for a big play in a major part of the game, that there is not a sense of calm, but a sense of understanding what the responsibilities are before every special teams attempt.
Well, I mean, if you just look at the field goal unit right now, you're talking about you have three young holders, three young punters, and you have two young snappers, although Chad has snapped in the Canadian Football League for a while. But you're talking about a group of specialists that has been completely transformed. And we don't know what's going to happen with Pat. Pat may be back. We're going to
talk about Pat Manley.
Pat Manley, he may come back. It just depends on what happens down the road with his rehab process with his hip. So when you talk about the special teams unit, you're talking about guys like Eric Weems now who become your go-to player, the Jordan Sends. You're talking about these are the guys you signed to be your core group of special teams players. But if you look around the room, I'm the oldest guy around, and you know it's different. The locker room is changing, and as an older player, you have to not so much before come in and care what you're doing. You now got to care about what the rest of your room is doing. So I think accepting and understanding that new role for me, Tom, is something that has been very humbling, but it's also been something that the last 3 months that I've had to sit around and think about in the offseason. And I'm excited for that role. I'm excited to step into a leadership role. I'm excited to be the guy that guys can come to in the locker room to talk about anything, whether it's, you know, personal issues, whether it's football issues. And I think that's exciting as an older player. It's just going to be something different, and I think it's going to be something that I'll enjoy.
Real quick, I know one thing that's really going to be beneficial for the special teams is the fact that you have all the draft choices signed. And when you're included in the meetings from the very first day of all the – when you can finally be all organized together, I think each one of these guys have an opportunity to take an active role in special teams no matter where they are drafted, first the seventh, or what position you play for that matter.
Yeah, I think the biggest part that you see that's changed those signings is the CBA. The CBA used to be the first, let's call it 15 picks, would always hold out because they're looking for more money or they're looking for something else. Realistically, those first-round picks are now talking about injury protection benefits in their contract, the length of their contract, 4 versus 5 years, which ends up giving them that extra year that you can pick up their option. But you're talking about the other guys. Everyone is slotted now. You're not getting any more or less than you did the year prior. So realistically, like you said, these guys are going to come in, and you're not worried about what guy's going to be in camp or not going to be in camp. You're now worried about where are they going to fit in with your team. And I think that's a huge, significant change in the CBA that helps general managers. It also helps your coaches understand where we can fill those guys in at.
Coming up next, I want you to take us to a place we have not been this offseason. That's the Bears locker room, the Bears meeting room. When Mark Trestman sat you guys down for that first meeting this offseason, what was the message that he delivered to the team? And Tom, what do you think about this? We usually play Ask Tom here on the show at 312-644-6767. It's where you guys ask Tom questions about the world of football, and usually Jim Miller is the judge and awards a gift certificate to Sports Authority. How about we play Ask Robbie? And Tom, you judge the best
like
caller
it.
Of the segment. You like that?
Yes,
all right,
I do.
312-644-6767. Your football questions for Robbie Gold and Mark Trestman's message to the Bears next on Bears All Access with Gold, Thayer, and Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tomorrow is your last day to enter the Win Ice Cream for a Year sweepstakes brought to you by Hudsonville Ice Cream. To enter the sweepstakes, visit chicagobears.com/Hudsonville Ice Cream and vote for your favorite name for Hudsonville's Chicago Bears inspired ice cream flavor. Robbie Gold is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. So is 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Before we get to Ask Tom with a little bit of a twist here on the show, we'll do Ask Robbie with Tom as the judge here at 312-644-6767. It's essentially a contest where we go 10 minutes nonstop, rapid-fire football questions for Robbie Gold, and Tom will decide who wins. The best caller to the segment will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Tom Thayer. But before we get to that, give me an idea of what it was like when you guys, because it was such a bitter ending to the season last year, that loss to the Packers in the regular season finale. They went to the playoffs. You guys went home. And then that first meeting with Mark Trestman when he gathered the team together, what was that like?
It was like it was last year when we came in. You know, he started the meeting off the same exact way. You know, Mark is a outward thinker. He always thinks ahead. And he's talking about, here's where we're at, here's where we're going, here's where we're going to end up. And I think he's got a great schedule for us. You know, obviously the coaches put a lot of time into figuring out what makes sense. They've made a couple of adjustments, I think, to the practice schedule, also to our off-season program as far as what we're going to do on the field, off the field, with meetings. You know, I think he gave us the plan to say, here's what we're going to need to do to win our division and to win the conference and play in the Super Bowl and win that as well.
Tom, do you have any advice for Robbie as he gets ready to play your game?
No, I just, you know, listen to the question. We have never had a bad question on this show. Every one of the listeners have been extremely informative, and they had a specific question. You got to give them the best answer in more of a shorter answer than a Robbie Gold answer.
I'm just dropping knowledge today, Tom. That's what I do.
All right.
Hey,
so,
but I am voting Robbie Gold for the flavor of the ice cream.
I'll tell you what, there's 30 guys in the locker room that would love that. All the offensive linemen would go crazy over that ice cream for a year.
I had some the other day at the Bears draft party down at Soldier Field. It was very good. So if you had a flavor called the Robbie Gold, you would be proud of it.
I'm going to have to talk to Hudson then.
Yeah, it's as good as gold, I guess, is what they would say about it. All right, 312-644-6767 is the phone number to play Ask Tom featuring Robbie Gold. But you got to impress Tom, too, because if the question isn't good, Tom's not going to pick you to
win.
I'm
always trying to impress Tom Thayer.
The Sports Authority gift certificate is at stake. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do
this. All right, let's begin the festivities on the southwest side with Paul. Ask Robbie.
Hi, Robbie. How you doing? And everyone else.
Hey, Paul.
My question is, I know, Robbie, you were the leader in the Washington relief, tornado relief, or kind of organizing the Bears and getting them to go out. If so, I think it is. How has it helped you as a football player and a leader within, say, the locker room, or if it has? I assume it would. But how has that helped you kind of being a football player?
Well, I think it puts what you do in perspective. I mean, you're talking about a football team that lifted a city that is rebuilding the city that's going to take about 3 years to be a part of. But you always want to help the fans out and people that are in need. And that's what my charity, the Golden Touch, does. But that's also what the Bears do with their charity. So there's a lot of perfect synergies there. And for a football player, it's always great to go down and meet fans and help them in a time of need.
And it seemed as though as a team, the Bears bonded on the bus ride down there.
It was an awesome trip. Playing in a Super Bowl is great, but that was, in my opinion, going to Cole City in Washington after the tornadoes was by far my favorite, next to maybe Mrs. McCaskey holding up the NFC trophy. That was one of my favorite moments in my career.
Ask Robbie continues at 312-644-6767. At stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Tom Thayer. We go to Chris in Midway. Chris, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Zach, how are you?
Great. Ask Robbie.
It's a privilege to talk to two great Chicago Bears. Robbie, my question is, what's the harder adjustment? You adjusting to a holder that's new or a holder adjusting to your kicking? And do you get your choice of who you prefer to hold for you?
Well, I can tell you I'm not the GM, so I don't make any decisions on who holds for me and how that goes. But I think the biggest difference is seeing a ball come back from any snapper. I mean, it's going to be different from Pat Manley to Brandon Hartson to Chad Rempel. So, I mean, if you're talking about what's the biggest difference, it's seeing the ball, and every guy holds and snaps different. So just getting reps with these guys that are here will help, and we have a lot of time to get that ready before the season starts.
312-644-6767 is the number to ask Robbie. The winner gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We go to Frankfurt. Joe, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Robbie, I got a good question. With only one kicker being in the Hall of Fame, what do you think it's going to take to eventually, you know, break that mold and make it in? And do you think one day maybe you'll make it, or a guy like Vinatieri will make it into the Hall of Fame and maybe some kickers get some recognition?
Well, you know, I think that's a tough place for specialists to break into simply because of the guys and the number of people that go into the Hall of Fame each year. I don't know exactly what that's going to take because, like you said, there's only one guy in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, the only thing I'm worried about is making my next kick and seeing how I can help the team each and every day and getting better. And hopefully if it gets down to that and I get voted in, then great. If not, then you know what? It's been awesome having the experience to play in the NFL.
Obviously, the team goal is always to win a Super Bowl. But as an individual, what's your goal?
Be the best that ever played the game. I mean, I want people to talk about what we were able to accomplish as a group, because kicking field goals in Chicago is not just about Robbie Gold. It's about Pat Manley, Brad Maynard. It's about all the offensive linemen and the tight ends and the wings and the guys that went into it. You're talking about Dave Tobe and Joe DiCamillis and Kevin O'Day and Chris Tabor, these guys took pride in it every single day. So when I wake up in the morning, I come in and lift weights and I kick. The only thing I care about is being the best that ever played the game. And if I do that, I think I'm going to help the team win a couple games.
312-644-6767. We continue. Ask Robbie, our final contestant, St. Charles. Eric, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Robbie. I was just wondering, what were your plans to haze the rookie punter on the roster? And what kind of hazing you went through when you were first introduced into the league?
Well, when I was in New England, I had to bake cookies and carry pads, and I was not a very good cookie baker by any means. Now what we do with the guys is they have to carry our pads, and they have to wear what we call a Canadian tuxedo. We had a kid named Spencer Lanning in camp 3 or 4 years ago who's now the Cleveland Browns punter, and it's all denim. Denim pants, denim shirt, bow tie with... We're trying to find a denim jean jacket. So if anyone has one of those and wants to bedazzle it out for these guys, they have it. So that's what we do for hazing. We're not big into hazing around here, but, you know, they do little dumb things like that.
I know Mark Trestman makes a big deal about not doing it, but last year I think he allowed the rookies to sing at the dining hall.
It was the last day of training camp. You know, Mark's a big, everyone's the same level. Everyone is the same in the locker room, and the veterans, the last day of training camp, were like, if one of these rookies has to sing, just like old times. And that broke out into about a 35-minute karaoke session with these rookies. So, some of the hazing is great because, you know, if you're singing your fight song or you're singing other songs or carrying the pads, it's a rite of passage. You know, taping guys up to goalposts and making guys pay for this, that, and the other, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. But realistically, you know, those small things make a team come closer together and bond a lot more. Plus, you're also talking about things that you don't really know these guys. You're only around them, these rookies, for now 5 weeks because they moved back the draft. So those are moments that allow us to get to know their personalities and get to know them on a better level.
All right, Tom, it's time to pick a winner.
All right, well, after some serious consideration, I like, you know, Paul brought back the memories of the Washington relief that Robbie was spearheading, and I think it's a good example with the Fuel Up to Play 60 kids there to hear what professional athletes and even a high school football team means to a community during some pretty rough times. But I think Chris from Midway, he talked about the adjustments Robbie had to make from holder to kicker, kicker to holder, but I think we all found out it may be as concerning with the snap before anything else gets to take place. So I like Chris's question that included Robbie from the Midway area, and I that was the deserving question for me.
So congratulations to Chris from Midway, courtesy of Tom Thayer. You win a gift certificate to Sports Authority for asking the tough technical questions to Bears kicker Robbie Gold. And Tom, before we take the break here, you just heard Robbie talk about some of the things that the Bears do to haze the rookies and what happened to him when he was a rookie. I'm guessing it's very different from what happened back when you played and you were playing for the first time in the NFL.
Yeah, it was more of the singing thing or carrying pads or maybe carrying. Playbooks were a lot bigger back then. So if you're a rookie, you're going to be carrying some extra playbooks and stuff. But, you know, that was just a rite of passage that you tried to earn yourself out of. And it was never harmful. It was only done in a fun way. And I don't think Coach Ditka would ever let anything get out of hand or unprofessional.
Got a lot of NFL questions for Robbie Gold. We'll ask them next on Bears All Access with 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Want to remind you that Bears All Access is now available as a podcast. Subscribe on the show page at chicagobears.com. We are coming to you live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Halas Hall in front of our group. Fuel up to play 60. Robbie Gold is our guest. We got 85 Bear Tom Thayer with us. I'm Zach Zaidman. And, you know, one of the things that Tom is interesting when we talk to Robbie is he's the Bears union representative inside the locker room, and there's so many issues that take place every single offseason. One of the big ones is the fact that they're going to change the rules and experiment a little bit with kicking for the first couple of preseason games this year, Robbie.
That's what I heard. But it's changed. The distance changed like 3 or 4 times. It's gone from like a 43 to 38. Now I guess it's like a 33-yard field goal. So it's slowly getting back to the extra point.
Yeah, but, so for people who don't understand what's going on.
So the NFL wants to make it a more exciting play. And they're trying to move back the extra point to, let's call it now, I think, what is the 15-yard line for us, because we moved back 8 yards. So it's 33-yard. It'll be from the 15-yard line. They're trying to experiment with it. I think Bill Belichick was a big reason why this happened. If you talk or you watch the videos of the competition committee, Jeff Fisher and Rich McKay, they don't know what they're doing with it yet. They don't understand what they're doing with it yet. You know, it's one of the rules that you can't do much about, although I'll tell you there's a lot more risk of safety issues involved with moving it away from the goal line, simply because now you're going to give guys more opportunity to rush and no fake is going to come into play. My biggest, it can move back as far as they want it to. I'm a big proponent that I don't like the rule because of the history, because how are you going to compare kickers in the National Football League? Morton Anderson's, you know, the Gary Anderson's, the Robbie Gould's, the Kevin Butler's, the Paul Ettinger's, whatever it is, you won't be able to compare them on the same level anymore. Take that completely out of it for a second. If you ask anybody why they're moving it or why extra points have become so automatic, it's because the hitting zone has become neutral. And by the hitting zone, I mean a kicker's going to hit the ball between maybe B gap to B gap if you're in really windy conditions. You take the double push, which you'd be able to line two guys up behind each other, rush the A gap, and get penetration. Now everyone's on the same level. So you've taken away some of the things to make the game safer, which I totally understand, but you've now moved the hitting zone for kickers where there's really not a whole lot of opportunity for blocks, and you have to become more creative. I think this year was a very difficult year for special teams coaches because they've never seen it before. If you have everybody on the same level, you have to figure out how you're going to get guys in gaps, guys with penetration. And I think what you've seen is now the rush area becomes over the tight ends. It now becomes over the wings is where that breaking point is in your field goal protection. So what I'd wish and I would hope that they would do is talk to some kickers about that, because not that I don't think Jeff Fisher or anybody that's on the competition committee is incompetent, but not many know a lot about kicking. And, you know, if I'd love to help them out with the rule and try to make it a better play if that's what they're looking to do. But I'd also tell you that head coaches now are going to have to make a decision. Either you're going to go for two or you're going to go for extra points. And maybe it brings the value of the kicker back into the game a little bit more. I don't know. But time will tell. I just think there's a lot. Again, 2 weeks in the preseason, you're wasting all this time to figure out how you're going to do it for 2 weeks in the preseason and then change back to the old way. That doesn't make much sense for the quality of football. It doesn't make sense for the quality of safety issues and play for players, but it also brings another learning curve in for these guys, especially as the league gets younger.
You know, Robbie, it seems like they're just trying to make change for the sake of change. And just to clarify things, when you're talking about your strike zone from the B-gap to the B-gap, that's basically the outside shoulder of each offensive guard. Now you're trying to hit it in that zone, correct?
Correct. In the old days, Tom, and probably when you played, you could line up guys wherever they wanted to, realistically. You could line them up over the center. You've now taken guys off the center because you're worried about their neck, which I think is a great rule. The center is a defenseless player on a PAT field goal. So now you've put everybody on the same line and same level. There's got to be some way to become more creative as a special teams coach.
Well, if you're trying to take injury threat away from the center, I think when you do put it, you're going to put more injury threat to the corners, whether it's the blockers on the outside shoulders or sometimes the angle of attack they come to get in the block gets in the way of the holder, even the follow-through of the kicker. So I think that's where you kind of present more of an opportunity for injuries to the back group of a kicking scenario than you would if you just have the customary extra point where you have it from.
100%. And the way the old extra point was set up is you'd always have to play for a fake. I mean, realistically, there was a lot of times where guys would get 2-point conversions on fake field goals. Now you're taking the fake, which is an exciting play, in my opinion, completely out of it. But it's gamesmanship, and it's just like anything else. You know, you don't have much say in the rule changes. You just have to adapt to it, and you have your opinion, but your opinion means very little.
You know, one thing about special teams, when there is an exposed weakness, an exposed way to take advantage, it's because of tape study by the special teams coach or the kickers and punters themselves that they identify this weakness that now we're going to spend all week trying to take advantage of, whether it's punt, punt return, kickoff return on any special teams. And so, again, when you do have the opportunity to go for that two-point play, it's a lot of times because you're going to earn someone out of position. And that's, you know, a lot of times that was some of the greatness of a special teams coach is his creativity.
100%. And I just think the biggest thing is it's going to change the quality of that play going forward. For some of your guys that will even go on IR, you're talking guys are going to get seriously injured. Like Husky in New England got seriously injured on that play, and you're trying to somewhat get rid of it. But, you know, there's just a lot of moving tangible items that need to be discussed in order to make that a better play.
Could the playoffs be expanded as early as this upcoming season? We'll ask the Bears union rep, Robbie Gold, that question next. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, in front of our audience from Fuel Up to Play 60 here at Hallis Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrutti, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. And I'm told that on this week's Inside the Bears, Jay Cutler meets the winners of a high school essay contest. Always riveting when you see Jay Cutler in those tender moments away from the general public. And Nate Collins launches a clothing line. Let me repeat. Nate Collins launches a clothing line.
Young Whales. They got some really cool stuff. I got a funny story about Nate and that when you're done doing the promo here.
Yeah, so and that's a great tease, by the way. Saturday at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. Zach Zaidman, Robbie Gold, Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access. Go ahead.
So Nate has this clothing company that him and Victor Cruz put together when they played for the Giants, and it's called Young Whales. And he brought some T-shirts in for the guys that are Bear Down. For some reason, mine was a female small V-neck. I don't know if he got my size wrong or if it was a joke, but he is now my locker partner, and I have never, ever let him, since the day he moved to the corner by the Kickers, I've never let him live that down.
Did you know?
And my brother played with him in college, so I don't know if he's just something between my brother and him went down. I really don't know, but you know what? I'm going to get him back one of these days.
Well, how does it look on you?
Very small.
Did you try it on?
You know, I don't have a chest for a V-neck, unfortunately. I could borrow maybe some of Tom Thayer's chest when, you know, offensive lineman. They got that big, burly chest.
Oh, my goodness.
Not anymore, buddy.
I let you two guys duke it out. So before the break, we were talking about the potential of the playoffs expanding. But before we get to that, there's one other change that directly affects you, and that's the extension of the uprights this year in order to make life a little bit easier for the officials so they can see that the ball is actually going between the uprights.
Well, see,
I
think it's actually different. I think it takes the referee completely out of it. So if I told you to lay down, I'm going to throw a tennis ball across your face and you tell me when you see it, that's what it's like for these guys looking up into the upright. So what it does, by extending the goalpost, it takes the referee completely, 9 times out of 10. I mean, unless you're, what do they call it, Legatron and Janikowski and all these guys that got these bomber legs. What it does is it now puts either you're going to hit the upright, it's going to bounce in, it's going to bounce out, or it's going to be outside the upright. So most of the time that you see balls flying, the distance that they raise the upright, it won't bring that play to be a controversial, did it go in, did it not go in. Again, Bill Belichick against the Baltimore Ravens, that's why this came about.
Robbie, when you get the extreme windy days in Chicago, any of the stadiums, and you see this sway of the goalpost, do you factor that completely out of your mind? Because I think with an extension of the goalpost, when you have the severe winds, they will be swaying even more. Does that not even come into the equation for you?
You know, I don't think about that a whole lot. I think what ends up happening now is it's actually going to provide a little bit of a different depth perception to how long field goals may be. So we're taking the necessary actions here to create that atmosphere by extending the goalposts.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So we're going to extend the goalposts so we can actually start seeing that different in depth perception. Because if you go to a place like the 49ers that has a really, really huge gap between the upright and where the fans actually sit, it makes a 30-yarder look like a 50-yarder. So I think you're going to see some of that come into play, and that's going to be maybe the biggest change that you're going to have with the uprights being extended.
You have a really unique pregame routine where you kick the ball down the width of the goal line. And I don't know if it's for your aiming or what, but will the extension of the goalpost affect your pregame routine?
Actually, it won't at all. What it ends up doing is I try to draw a straight line. Kicking's all about kicking in a straight line. So what it's actually going to do, it's going to allow me to have an extra distance that I'm not going to hit it over the upright. I now have that extra distance to be able to look at and try to hit that target. So I'll have a better perception of where that ball is actually traveling to.
Now, help me understand something, Robbie, because you once told me that you look at it, you'll pick out a fan wearing a color that's different from all the other fans on the other side of the actual goalpost, and you'll aim for that fan in order to make sure that you get it through the uprights.
Yeah, every stadium's different. You got to find something. Sometimes it's signage that you have going across the concourse. For us in Chicago, it's usually some fan or some target, whether it's a sign or whatever. You pick that out in Green Bay, it's usually camo, but there's a lot of camo in Green Bay. So it's tough to really pick out that target.
Is there a favorite color you generally search for?
No, it's just something that has to stick out. You know, it's different at every stadium, but the idea behind it is the reason you pick your target is that's where you try to feel your way through your kick. And it gives you that target to walk that line or walk towards that line. I try to actually take that target, see it, so I kick the ball up towards that target, and I actually use the lineman as my line to where I can walk to because it's a much shorter distance for me to feel and see.
It's very interesting, the little nuances.
Right.
I have
one more question, though. When they raise the net, they have that circle in the middle of the net. Is that an unrealistic target that we as fans are looking at for you?
Well, the reason that we put that up there is because we don't have small training posts. And what I mean by that is I used to go and kick in the Arena League when the Rush were around and my brother played there. And you would have a 6-foot, 9-foot post that you would be able to kick a target through. Well, if you can kick any of your – it's almost like golf where you turn around and you get your hitting target to be so small, you then go on the big uprights, that thing looks pretty huge. So you feel pretty confident going to those. So – the reason we put the dot in the middle of it, of the net, is so that we have that small target to go towards.
Is Soldier Field the toughest stadium to kick in?
Not anymore for me. I mean, I get to kick in it 10 times a year. So it's tough because of the weather and the conditions that you're playing in. But I think Pittsburgh's really difficult. I think Buffalo's really difficult. You know, any cold weather, bad weather place is pretty tough to kick out.
Now, I promised to ask you about possibly the extension of the playoffs this upcoming season. We'll do that next with Robbie Gold, Tom Thayer, Zach Zabin on Bears All Access live at Hallis Hall in front of our friends from Fuel Up to Play 60 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. With Robbie Gold and Tom Thayer here in our final few moments, Robbie, do you want to see the NFL expand the playoffs?
I think it'd be great. It puts teams like the Chicago Bears 2 years ago at 10-6, the Arizona Cardinals being 10-6, not on the outside looking in, but it also now makes it that your seeding is going to become that more important. So I like it. I think it'll be great for the sport. I think it'll be great for viewers. And it'll make the playoffs a lot more interesting because then you don't have two teams sitting out with a bye week.
Do you think it'll happen this year?
I don't know. I hope it does.
That's Robbie Gold for Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. Thanks again to everyone who participated, including our friends from Fuel Up to Play 60. Live here at Hallis Hall for Jim Padgett, Paul Zerang, Herb Lawrence, Cast of Thousands. I'm Zach Zabin saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.